Well, good to see you all here this morning. Thank you, Ralph, for that awesome tribute to Pastor Timothy. You know what? It is beneficial to know some of these technological kinds of things because he whipped it up like that. I could not have done that. Thank you, Ralph. But I believe he was looking over the portals of heaven and just thankful for this body of believers. We supported his ministry. And he did an amazing job. Amazing job. So yeah, heaven is rejoicing. All right. Well, good morning. You know, today is Pentecost Sunday. You know, and Pentecost Sunday is that we're celebrating the Holy Spirit being poured out. You know, we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't be here without the Holy Spirit. I couldn't teach what I'm about to teach without the Holy Spirit. So anyway, I just want to, we're going to open up in prayer and just get on with the message today. So Father, we just thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you, Father, for all you've done for us. We praise you, Lord, that Pastor Timothy has been ushered in, Lord, and your angels, everyone just welcomed him. What an awesome homegoing. He served you well here on this planet Earth. And we thank you for those that you're raising up to take his place. Father God, what an awesome privilege it is to be able to serve you. But we couldn't do it without your Holy Spirit. We couldn't do it. We can't do it in our own strength. Thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit. Because it's through your Holy Spirit that we can teach what you've called us here to teach. Lord, that we can demonstrate what you've called us here to demonstrate. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We could not do this. I could not do this without you. I thank you for touching each one here today. Touch their heart, touch their soul, touch their minds. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your anointing on this word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, you know, I began recasting the vision of Word of Life Church last week. You know, how this church came to be. Why are we here? What are we doing? What's God doing with this church? And so a lot of how Word of Life Church came to be had a lot to do with, you know, what God revealed to me through his Holy Spirit. And so I sought him regarding critical issues in my life. And so he revealed his word to me. He revealed the truthfulness of his word to me. He revealed the power of his word. And he showed me how to stand on it and to see his promises manifest. There's a way. He has a way. God has a way. And so we're here as a church to teach his word, to teach the truthfulness of his word, to demonstrate the power of his word, and to teach how we can all stand on his word, not be moved off of it, and see his promises manifest in each of our lives. That's why Word of Life Church is here. That's why we're here. And so, you know, we all have situations. We all have those storms, right? Those stormy gales in our life that we sang about earlier. We all have them come against us. And when we know the promises of God, when we know what the Word of God says, we can stand on those promises and he'll take us through those storms. But you know what? You may not be in a storm right now. You know, but the word will still edify you and equip you for when the next one comes. Or for you to help someone else get through their storm. You know, we're here to help. We're here to help. When someone comes to knock on the door, we don't turn them away. We don't turn them away. We help. We give them the word. We help however we can. And so we just want to come up higher in the things of God. We need to grow up. And so that's what we're doing here with Charis Healing University every Wednesday. When I heard several of the students that final night, when we had gone through all 54 classes, I heard several students say, "We should have been taught this stuff years ago. We should have been taught this stuff." I could relate to what they were saying. It was kind of like a bittersweet kind of a moment, because I was sad that they hadn't. But it was sweet because here it is. Here it is. And they're hooking up on Wednesday nights. People, I don't know the people either. They just keep calling every week. "Hey, can you hook up this person? Can you hook?" The word's getting out. And people are joining. And most of the people don't go to this church. They're from other churches because they don't teach this stuff in their churches. And so it's an honor and it's a privilege to be able to share. I was there at that point, that those people that were standing at this podium saying that. I was there a number of years ago. I was there. That's why we're here. That's why. It's a privilege. We had some growing up to do too, didn't we? I'm still growing. But then they said, now we're learning it. And they applied what they've learned through that class, and they saw the victory. They saw things happening in their own life because of the word that was taught. It works the same way for all of us, guys. It does. Anyway, that's why we're running through this, the Charis Healing series again. Thank you, Ralph. Pastor Ralph is heading it up this second time around. He's overseeing the second round of teachings. You know, we're planting seed. Amen. We're planting seed, and I'm expecting a harvest. Amen. A greater harvest than we saw before. We saw some fruit, but I want to see more. I want to see more. I believe that we will. And so, yeah, it's an honor, it's a privilege. You know, we're casting vision. We're casting vision. We're talking about what is Word of Life Church? How did it come to be? What are we doing here? And I took the time to listen to the prophetic word that Prophet John Mark Poole gave to our church recently when he was here, May 2nd. I took the time, I wrote it out word for word. He was here on May 2nd. I typed out his word. You can listen to it yourself if you go to www.wordoflifechurchpa.podbean.com. You can listen to yourself. You can tune on May 2nd. This prophecy for Word of Life Church starts around the 1 hour, 2 minute, and 45 seconds. So that's right around there. It's where it starts. You can listen to it again. His prophecy reaffirms why Word of Life Church is here. Would you listen to it? I have it verbatim. This is the prophetic word for Word of Life Church from Prophet John Mark Poole, May 2nd, 2021. He said, if you were here, "Pastor Rhonda, all I can see being here, I know I'm in a foxhole full of kingdom citizens. I feel the desire for fire here strongly. But I felt like there was, like at an amusement park, one of those rides where the whole floor just goes whoosh." "I sense this looks like we're underground, but everything about this is moving upwards. You're going on up to the seventh floor. You're not stopping on number one. God says this is not really the basement. It's the fire chamber. But it's not a basement. Yeah, it's an abasement. It's abating the enemy. This is the seventh floor in a fiery transition mode. You're feeling you have a combustion that's going to explode. So I need to hit the seven. You're going up seven stories. And really and truthfully, I know this sounds crazy, but you're going out to that park, you know, that Waldheim Park that we're going out to, more and more." And he said,
Because I am giving you such a place to where that represents the seventh level anointing in the region that will become God's completion and perfection for the region from the reset of this area. So I give you the seven anointing, the shalom, the completion oil, to take seven stories higher and release it from the heavenlies. As you lift me up like this, I'm going to draw all men unto me. So don't think of this as being in the basement. Think of this as the fire tunnel that's going to be catapulting seven stories high that cannot be stopped in Jesus' name. For the region will see it and run to it in the name of the Lord. He said, you have no idea the effect this lighthouse has. John Mark said, is this, he was asking God, is this lighthouse on a hill or a bunker for the deal? in his lingo. He said, no, it can be a bunker. It can be a hiding place. But literally, you can't keep what's coming in this basement. It's going higher, seven stories higher. And it's going to draw all men unto us in this region, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey. All the Northeast region will be affected from this location. Thank you for your diligence. The Lord says, I am going to perform it. Diligence matters. Obedience matters, doesn't it? You say yes to God and you obey, and he's all over with blessing. Amen. I believe that God has a place for Word of Life Church. In such a time as this, don't you? I do, absolutely. And I believe that we are to continue to boldly, unapologetically preach the truth of the truthfulness of the Word of God and not be fearful. Especially in this time, because the enemy is fighting so hard, you see it, so hard to come against him, so hard. He's placed Word of Life Church here. When our church got started, we focused on building a very strong foundation on the Word of God. Hence, Word of Life, the name Word of Life, okay? And so over the next several weeks, we're going to be going over some of those foundational teachings that we had when we started, the foundational teachings for Word of Life Church. One of the first foundational teachings that we focused on was spirit, soul, body. It's foundational. We spent several months on that subject, and so we're going to try to zero in on some of the highlights before we move on. And so, knowing how things work, how it helps us to cooperate with the process and see that process work for us instead of against us. I'm not strong in all this technology stuff. But if you teach me, I can learn. And Gary helps me at home a little bit. He knows a little bit more than I, and so he helps me, and I can follow it. But Ralph, you would need to have some patience with me to teach me all that stuff that you know. You know, we all have different giftings, right? And this isn't an area that I'm not strong in. But I can learn. You know, I remember I had my best friend in high school, straight A student, awesome. She was awesome. So we were very close, and in our group, I had this desire, a strong desire, that I wanted to get a car. When I was 16, I wanted to get a car. But, we didn't have a lot of financial means in our family, so I had to work for that car. And so I was able to start working when I was 15. I was 15 years old, and we kind of lived near a factory where they sewed clothing. So I got a job, and they don't call it a sweatshop for nothing. I worked for every dollar, but I was able to buy a car. My first car was $500. Now today, $500 wouldn't seem like very much to you, but I worked. I wanted that car. And so in my high school group, I was the only one that owned a car, but I earned it with every sweat of my brow. It was a British Ford Cortina. I don't recollect that one. I don't know. But it had some issues with it, but it did drive. And this girlfriend of mine, you know, towards the end of our senior year, she said, could you teach me how to drive? I mean, she's a straight A student. You think she'd pick it up really quick, you know? She could not keep the car in a lane. You know, like she would take a lot more patience to grasp that. You know, thankfully now I do know she is driving a car. You know, she's a principal for in the educational system. She's a principal. She can drive to work, but she needed a lot of help to get to that point. And so, you know, everyone has their giftings, right? We all have our giftings, and if we allow those giftings to work for the whole, we all benefit. We all benefit. So, but you know, in this area of life, we all need to know how it works. We all, for ourselves, you know how to flow with God, how to receive from Him. We all have a part to play in our own success in life. We all have a part to play, and we need to know what that part is. So, this teaching on spirit, soul, and body was critical. For me, I needed to learn it. And it's also important for you, very important for you, if you want to learn how to cooperate with God and walk in victory. I don't walk in it perfectly, but I know how it's done. And so if we know the process, we can cooperate with the process and see the fruit. We can see the manifestation. So I began sharing last week about spirit, soul, body. And primarily the reason for sharing this, you know, is there anyone in here who doesn't want to walk in victory? And I see any hands. This teaching showed me how to do it. So to me, this was very important. Because I didn't know any of this, and none of my churches taught it to me. So we went right here. This is foundational. And so I believe it is God's will for every one of us to walk in victory. So we're going to be going over some of these teachings. This will be a mini review for some of you, you know, that have been here through the teaching. But for some of you, this is going to be equipping. It will be giving you some instruction on how to flow with God. And so our first scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We shared this with you last week. Paul says, now may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord. So we're a three-part being. God has that in Scripture. He has a three-part being. You know, God is a three-part being. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And each part has their part to play, yet they are all in one. We are a three-part being as well. You know, I said last week that many teach that the spirit and the soul are the same. That's not true. We are a three-part being, and God tells us in His Word. If God says it in His Word, you can take it to the bank. He cannot lie. And so God specifically mentions each part of our being in Scripture. I think He should probably have a good clue about it since He created us, right? He knows all about us. He knows all about those three parts. And so we are a spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul. And we live in this earth suit, this body, right? Okay. The spirit part of us is our innermost being. Proverbs 20:27 says this, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. So God contacts us through our spirit. He searches out our innermost parts. It's spirit to spirit. He's a spirit. We're a spirit. He's spirit to spirit. I said last week when we're born again, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now the soul, we know what the soul is, right? What's the soul, guys? Let me write that up here. I can get a hold of this. The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Those emotions. All right. The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And the body, of course, That's our earth suit. That's this body that we live in. We need a body, by the way, to stay on this earth, to live and move and have our being. We need this earth suit. And also the soul and the body together make up what? Anybody remember? What would you call that? Soul and body together are the flesh. The flesh. Soul and body make up the flesh. The flesh part of us is the part that feels. You can feel your soul. You can feel happy. You can feel sad. You can feel that. You can feel your body. You can feel if there's something hurting or a gentle touch, you can feel it. You can't feel your spirit, your inner man. That's spirit. The spirit realm can't be felt naturally or be seen. And the only way that we can understand the spirit realm is through the Word of God. It's through God's Word. We simply have to take God's Word for it. If you don't know what your spirit man looks like, if you don't know what this part of you looks like, we got to look into His Word, and His Word is what will reveal that realm to us. You know, there is a spirit realm and there is a natural realm. They do exist. And God's Word reveals spiritual reality. God's Word is a spiritual mirror. You know how we can look in a mirror and we can see, you know, how things are looking in there. We know who we are. God's Word is a mirror. It's a mirror to us as well. It tells us who we are. And it tells us what we look like. James 1:23-25 will say, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And verse 25 says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, that's the Word of God, specifically the New Testament, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So James is saying, don't look into the spiritual mirror. Don't look into God's Word. You know, don't have your quiet time in the morning. You're looking into God's Word. And then you walk away, you go to work, and you forget who you are. He's saying, don't do that. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who God says you are. God's Word reveals spiritual reality. John 6:63 says this. Jesus said this. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and of life. So God's Word is spirit, and it is life. And Jesus said in His Word that He said in His Word that we have to be born again. John 3:3. Thank you, Joanne. I appreciate Joanne over there. She's in training. She's doing really good. Thank you, Joanne. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said this, most assuredly, and He was talking to Nicodemus. I remember Nicodemus came and was asking, how to get to heaven, how to be saved. And so Jesus says to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom. So we have to be born again to enter God's kingdom. When we are born with a sin nature due to that fall in the garden. Every single one of us, we were all headed for hell, and our spirits were separated from God. That it was that sin nature. But when we believe on Jesus and accept His payment for our sins, the Holy Spirit comes to seal us and save us. That's what we had that red line there for. And that scripture, if you need to write it down, to assure yourself of your salvation, Ephesians 1:13 says, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So your spirit is sealed. You've been redeemed. Your spirit is redeemed. Your spirit is the place where that transformation took place. Your soul and body have been purchased. The spirit is the part where that change took place. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the scripture we looked at last week. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if you're born again, church, every one of you is a new creation. Every one. Does it matter what storm you're in, what you dealt with last night? You've been recreated right here in your spirit man. That's where the transformation took place. Everything that we need, God has provided everything we need, and we have access through our born-again spirit, through our spirit. You know, God told us what we had to do with our spirits in the Word. He also tells us in His Word what we're to do, with these minds and our bodies. You know, we still need these bodies as long as we're on this earth, right? And so we will receive a glorified body one day, but until then, we've got these bodies, and we're to be good stewards, right? We're to take care of our bodies. You know, eat well, get sleep, pray. And so we're to pray over our temple. We're to exercise. Those things are good. They help our bodies. But God also tells us what to do with our souls. He tells us what to do with our souls. He tells us to renew those minds. He says, renew them. You know, we're still working on the flesh part. Our spirit part's been redeemed. That part's okay. But it's the soul and the body we're still dealing with while we're in these bodies. So Romans 12:2, thank you, Joanne. We got Romans 12:2 up there. Paul says this, and he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, that word renewing means to renovate. Renovate your mind. my mind needed renovating. I tell you, it did. It did. But what are we supposed to renew our mind to? What are we renovate it with? We don't renew it to what the world says. We renew it to what God says. We renew it to what God says in His Word. And I have this scripture. I think we looked at this one last week. Proverbs 4:20-22. I think we looked at this last week. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. My words are life unto those that find them. And what? Health. Ooh, health to all their flesh. To all their flesh. Some versions say medicine to all their flesh. You need medicine? Get the word. God also said this. These are foundational scriptures that this church has been founded on. Word of Life Church. Go to Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. Do we have that up there? Joshua 1:8? We do. Okay. Thank you. All right, thank you. God said this to Joshua. He said, this book of the law, the Bible, His Word, shall not depart from your mouth, Joshua. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, church, but you shall meditate in it once in a while. Oh, no, day and night. Meditate on it when you feel like it. No, day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. Who will make your way prosperous? Oh, you. Oh, you got a part to play? Yeah. You will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We got a part to play. God tells us we got a part to play. Meditate. Where do you meditate? We use this mind. So our born-again spirit has already been transformed, but now God is saying we need to transform this mind to agree what we already have in our spirit. And so we're to meditate day and night and do what it says. Then, he said, we'll have success. He doesn't say complain about, you know, you're not having everything that you want, but to meditate on his word, do what it says, and then we'll have success. You know, if God says in his word, and it does, if we have the same spirit who raised Jesus from the dead on the inside of us, living in us, then we do. If he says we have that same power, that raising from the dead power on the inside of us, then we do. And Paul says this. He says God is able to do for us all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So that power is in us. Ephesians 3:20 says this: Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You think what you're asking for God is a little too hard for him? No, I don't think so. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. You might say, well, I don't think I have that power in me. I don't feel it. Where is it? It's in our spirit realm. You can't feel it. But you know what? If God says it's in there, it's in there. You got it. We got it. But you know what? It is possible for that power to be there and to lay dormant, to never see it manifest. If your mind or your soul, if your soul is closed to that, you won't see that power released. That power is there, but it stays locked up in there until you renew your mind to what you already have in your born-again spirit. And you have to renew that mind long enough to you realize that it's the real you and be able to release that. You know, a person can die and have all that power inside, but never have it applied, never have it released. It can be untapped. It's there. God says it's there, but it can be untapped. That would be like a person who is dying of thirst, and they're standing right next to a well of water. They got a part to play. They got to get that water out of that well. It's there. It's been provided for them, but they got to draw it out. And so we saw last week that we draw those things out that have already belonged to us in the spirit realm into the physical realm by how? Anyone remember? We draw it out. We draw what's in our spirit realm out into this physical realm by faith. It's by faith. And Ephesians 2:8 says this: For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves; it is the gift of God. So it's God's grace that has given us the provision for our salvation. He did his part, but we have to believe and receive it for ourselves. We have to believe that Jesus paid for our sins. For by God's grace we have been saved by faith. So God's part is grace. He gives. He already gave it, right? He already gave it at the cross. And so we receive, we believe and receive by faith. And so we looked at that word sozo last week. That's on your screen right now, sozo. That word for saved means to save. And thank God there are a lot of churches that teach that, you know, that you can be saved by believing what Jesus did at that cross. But not all the churches are teaching that. There is a whole lot more to that word sozo. And that's what I had to learn. It wasn't just about salvation. That's what my church taught me, but it wasn't just about salvation. Thank God I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. You know, I know that I'm gonna meet Pastor Timothy. He may usher me in. He may welcome me when I get there. But we need his word. We need those promises to work here in this life. And so that word sozo doesn't just mean to save, so you know, save you from hell. Thank God it does. It does. But that word sozo also means to deliver from the enemy. It means to protect. It means to heal, to preserve, to do well, to make whole. Those are some of God's promises. You know, we're saved from hell and the grave by God's grace through faith. We're healed from sickness by God's grace through faith. It's faith. All the promises of God are already given to us, and we have access to them through our born-again spirit. We already have those promises in our spirit, and we draw that out into the physical realm by faith, by believing it and by acting on it. So our church, we did a study a while back on what are some of the other things that we have. What are some of the other promises that we have in our born-again spirit? So what we came up with during that study, and we don't have all of everything here, but during our study, this is what we came up with. Can you just prop that up? Maybe against... this is what we came up with in our study, what we already have in our born-again spirit. We're a new creation. If you're born again, you're a new creation. We just saw that. We saw in Scripture that the fruit of the Spirit that we have in here is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We found out that we have God's power on the inside of us. We have eternal life. We have life. Thank you, Barry, for handing them out. We also kind of shrunk that down with technology. And so you can take this along home and you can study it out yourself. You know, we have a scripture to stand with each other, but there's many scriptures that will back all this up. It's so powerful. We're complete. We're perfect. Where are we perfect? Are we perfect in our soul or in our body? It's our spirit we're perfect. You may not feel like you're perfect, but guess what? God says you are. You're perfect in there. He says you're righteous. He says you're holy. We are holy. Next time the devil tries to beat you up for something you did wrong, tell him, I'm holy. I'm the righteousness of God. Amen. That's who I am. Yes. That's who I am. That's who I am. God's word is our mirror. This is kind of like a bit of a mirror. I have this page on the front of my refrigerator. When I get up in the morning, this is who I am, God. This is who you said I am. I have a sound mind. I don't always feel like I have a sound mind, but God said it's in there. I got it. I have it. I need to draw it out. I need to draw it out. I have the fullness of God. Amen. We don't lack anything, church. We don't. We got his fullness. We have his anointing. The kingdom of God is within us. Wherever you go, guys, wherever you go, you got to realize the kingdom of God goes with you. You change that atmosphere. But you got to know what you got, or the devil will talk you right out of it. It's there, all right. It's there. But you got to listen to what does God say about you? What does God say you've got? We have authority. Well, we're going there. Yes. We're going to go there, guys, because we need to be reminded of that right now. These days, with all that's coming at us, we have the authority on this earth. And we need to know it. And we need to what? We need to do what God's word says to walk in it. We exercise that authority with our mouth. Our mouth. So, I mean, you can take that along home and you can study it. But we have extra copies on the back table. But I tell you, we learned a lot during that teaching. And that's why we're kind of going over it before we move on. So we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. It's just powerful. When you start grabbing a hold of who you are, man, you become kind of like, you know, what the Incredible Hulk. You know, you're not afraid of anything. God's already given it to you. He's already provided everything for you. Powerful. It's in there. You know, the love, the joy, the peace. It's in our born-again spirit. But we need to draw it out. We need to draw it out. We can possess all that and not see it released from our spirit. We can feel anger. We can feel depression. We can feel sadness. We can feel anxiousness. We can feel hatred in our soul. We feel it right here. All the while, we have the love, the joy, the peace. We got to draw it out. We do that by faith. We do it by faith. When what we have in our spirit, when we agree in our soul with what we have in our spirit, that releases what we have. We come in alignment. The love is released. The joy is released. The peace is released. Even, I've walked this out, even when the earth is shaking and everything around you is falling down. I tell you, it's in there, guys. It's in there. When you believe that healing is already bought and paid for you, you already have access to that, you've already got it. When you believe that, you can see that released, and it will affect, that power will be released, and it'll affect your body. It does, guys. It does. We're teaching this in Karis University. So a lot has to do, you know, with what you think. You know, if you think you're sick, the doctors say, you know, you got something, you're going to have to deal with this for a little while, then that may be your lot if that's what you agree with. The pivot point is right here. Do you, in your soul, do you agree with what God says? If God says you're healed, God says you're healed. Or do you agree with your body that screaming pain, hurt? Oh, the doctor says, I can't do anything for you. It's too late. It's a lie. It's a lie. But we have a part to play. And so the soul is our deciding factor. I'm going to ask for three volunteers. I already got Joanne. Joanne, can you help me, or are you too busy? Can you just step away for a little bit? I need two more volunteers. Joanne shared this with me. You can volunteer, yes.
I want to be the spirit.
You want to be spirit. Okay, you're going to be spirit. Okay, put this over your, put it, if you get it over your head. And I'm going to ask Joanne to be the soul. Okay, and could you come over here, honey? And just, you're going to be the body, okay? All right, can you guys all just stand next to each other?
I'm in the middle.
Yep, soul's in the middle. Joanne was sharing this. She saw one of the instructors showing this. You could be spirit, honey. You could be spirit. Okay, we are a three-part being, right? Spirit, soul, and body. And Joanne was sharing that she saw this. You know, I do drawings, you know, but we want to demonstrate what we're talking about, okay? So the soul is the deciding factor. The soul decides what's going to happen. So if the soul chooses to link up with the body, so you're going to disconnect from the spirit, okay? All right? You guys, if the soul decides that the body's saying, I hurt, oh, I hurt, the doctor says, I can't be well. Absolutely. That's the flesh ruling. That's two against one. That's majority. Majority rules. Okay? That's what you'll have. That's being carnally minded. Okay. However, if the soul, come on over here, honey. If the soul connects with the spirit, that's two against one. What's in the spirit, what we already have, will flow through the body, through the soul, through the body, and that's how healing is released. That's how the blessings are released. That's how peace is released. Awesome. Yeah. Woo! Awesome. That's just a physical. All right, you're whole. Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. The point is, the soul is the pivot point. It's the soul. The soul is where you decide. You make the decision. You're deciding. I want to show you something here. I'm going to just change this drawing up just a little bit. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. Thank you for volunteering. I'm going to just draw something a little bit differently. So hopefully it will help a little bit better. I'm better at drawing, I think, than... So I'm going to draw a pipe. Here comes a pipe. Okay, here we go. Here's a pipe. This is like your faucet, okay? This is your faucet. And let's just say it's like divided into three parts. Here's the spirit. This is our soul. And our body. Okay, spirit, soul, and body. So what we're saying is, if you can think of a pipe, you know, things can flow through a pipe, all right? But there are these things that are called valves. Okay, and this one's not working. Let me use. Okay, I'm going to use this. This is a valve. Okay? When things are flowing through a pipe, they can flow freely unless there's a valve that shuts off or clogs it up or stops the flow, okay? So you can kind of relate. That's what our soul is. Our soul is like that valve. I have a valve here to just kind of show. That's the part. That's the soul decides whether we remain open to allow what's in the spirit realm to flow into the physical realm. Or if we shut it off and we just have to deal with just what we have in the natural, in the physical realm. Very important. But all the blessings, all the promises are available through our born-again spirit. We need to recognize that. The Christian life is not a process of trying to get something from God. He's already provided it. It's how do we release it? I had to learn that. We need to know how to flow with God. We need to know what the process is. You know, it's easier to receive something when we know we already have it than to try to get something that we don't know we have. It's easier. And so this was crucial for me to learn. And when we know how things work in the spirit realm, we can cooperate with that and see the manifestations quicker. We can see the promises. We need to know how things work, and we can cooperate with God. He's already given the provision. It's in the spirit realm. Jesus said, it's finished. It's already provided. And so we draw that into the physical realm by faith. And in order to be in faith, we have to be in alignment with God. We cannot have any doubt. No wavering. And so we have James 1, and I want to look at verses 6 through 8. James chapter 1, starting at verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And verse 7 says, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Faith is not double-minded. Faith is single-minded. It's not doubting and being tossed back and forth. It's remaining steadfast on God's word. You know, we don't need more faith. We've been given the measure of faith. We've been given faith. Jesus said we only need a mustard seed of faith. Remember that? He said just a mustard. Do you know how big a mustard seed is? It's so tiny. I have one taped in the front of my Bible. It's so tiny. But that mustard seed of faith has to be pure. No doubting. No doubting. No wishy-washy, no back and forth, no double-mindedness. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can tell that mountain of sickness, that mountain of lack to go, and it has to go. It's got to go. One of the other teachers that I learned so much from was Ken Hagen Sr. He's the author of that little God's Medicine booklet that we give out in our welcome packets. We give those away, and I shared a little bit last week why we do that. But in that little booklet, Ken shares his own personal testimony of a supernatural, miraculous healing. He was diagnosed as a teenager of having a deformed heart and an incurable blood disease. And the doctors told him they couldn't do anything for him. He'd have to die. And so he was kind of in a position, you know, that I was like, Lord, you know, if there's any help for me, it's got to be in your word, because there is no other help. There is no one else. And so he began reading his Bible. He was like partially paralyzed. He couldn't even turn the pages. He needed his mother to help him turn the pages. And so he began reading. He said, well, God, if there's any help, it's got to be in your word. So he started reading in the New Testament. He started reading in Matthew. He went all through Matthew. Then he went into Mark. He went up to Mark. He got stuck at Mark 11. Mark 11. Mark 11, 22 to 24. These are the verses that got him, that tripped him up a little bit. He had to stop there so he could meditate on those, okay? Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, these are Jesus' words. If you have a Bible that has the red letters, this is in red letters. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain of sickness, this mountain of debt, this mountain of lack, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, this is verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Ken had a hard time believing what it said. He said, you know, if I believe without doubting, I can tell this mountain of sickness to go, and it has to go. That was his question. So he called for his pastor to come, and he went to ask his pastor what those scriptures meant. And his pastor came, but his pastor did not confirm the word. He did not confirm the word of God. Instead, he said, just be patient, my boy. It'll all soon be over. And so he was telling him, prepare to die. He gave him no hope. And it was right there. He had an opportunity to share hope with Ken. But you know, Ken just couldn't shake those verses. And so he kept studying them, and he finally began to try to do, you know, what the word says. And he started pulling himself up on his bedpost. He was believing what the word said, and he was acting on it. And as he did that, strength was released. The strength was released into his body, and he was healed. He did say, you know, several times the enemy tried to come against him and steal his healing, but he stood firm on the word, and the enemy lost. He kept his healing, and he lived until his late 80s. He had become a pastor. He became a preacher. And God told him, go teach my people faith. They don't understand faith. Go teach my people faith. And so His ministry has a daily healing school out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, free. Anyone want to go to it? You can go. We were there. You can go free. Every day they're teaching this stuff. And they see miracles. They see miracles. And so miracles do happen there. Miracles are still for today. God still has them for us. And you can expect a miracle. Our church told me that I couldn't expect a miracle. But I'm telling you, that's a lie. You can expect it. And so one thing that God showed me as I was seeking him with everything I had, God said in Mark 11:23 that we will have what we say. We will have what we say. And so God revealed to me in a very supernatural way, and I've shared this in here before. I was seeking God. I was attending a class at a Rhema church in Pennsauken, New Jersey. And the class that I was attending was on demonology. I knew I was fighting an enemy that I could not see. And I had to learn how to fight. I didn't know how to fight an enemy you couldn't see. I knew I was struggling. And so I was taking a class down there on demonology. That class was by Lester Summerall, if anyone know that name, Lester Summerall. No, he was not there physically. It was his, the Rhema Church was teaching from his book. And so I knew I was in a battle. I needed to learn how to fight. And I couldn't learn how to fight with these arms. This would do nothing in the spirit realm. Nothing. I needed to learn how to fight. And so, just me seeking God, you know what? If you ask, he'll give it to you. I was seeking with all of my being. I said, God, you know, I need to know some of these things. And so we were being taught on demonology and how to identify and how to fight back. And so one day I was coming home from that class. Now, to get to Pensacola, New Jersey, the quickest way is to go right through Philadelphia. And then it's like, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half drive or so. But the quickest way is to go through Philadelphia. And so my route was the Schuylkill Expressway. And so one day on my way home from the class, I'm getting on the Schuylkill Expressway. Now, if you've ever been on that road, cars are flying every which way. And so you really got to keep your wits about you because the people whiz and they come in front of you and you don't want to miss your turn. And, you know, you just have to keep it all together. Well, yeah, woo, not us. So anyway, I'm on the Schuylkill Expressway, and cars are whipping and dodging, and they're not going slow, you know, they're going fast. But shortly after I got on this Schuylkill Expressway, God gives me a vision. I had had visions before, but never on a Schuylkill Expressway while I'm driving. Yeah, you know, there is a spirit realm, you know. You could be physically driving a car, but God will open up your spiritual eyes, and you can see in the spirit realm. You can see what's going on there while your eyes are seeing things in this physical realm. So I'm driving a car on the Schuylkill Expressway, and God shows me this vision. And in the vision, he showed me, I was standing there, and there were all these demons, these little demons. They were small, they were ugly, and they were just little. And they were kind of like a yellowy mustard kind of color. They all kind of looked the same to me, but they were all standing there staring up at me. And I'm watching this as I'm driving. I said, God, why are they staring at me? What do they want? And God said, they're waiting to hear what you say. He taught me that it's important what we say. What we say has to agree with what God says we are, with what God says we have. If we say anything different, we're not in alignment. We're not in alignment with God. If we speak different from what God's word says, our words determine whether we will live in health and abundance or in sickness and lack. It's our words. faith-filled words will empower us to release into this physical realm what we already have. Doubt, murmuring, complaining will clog it up. It'll stop it. I had to learn that. And you guys do too. It's critical to just speak what God says. You know, there are a lot of examples in Scripture to back all this up that I'm saying. Many, many examples. But there is one that is my favorite. And I want to go there. It's, you know, you remember when the Israelites were camped out? They were camped out in the wilderness. And they were preparing to invade the promised land that God says, I'm giving you this land. And so they were preparing to invade that land. And God told Moses, he told him to send out 12 spies. Remember this? 12 spies into the promised land. You can read about it in Numbers 13. In fact, you can even go there. Joshua and Caleb, they were among those spies. And those spies came back saying, you know what God said? God said, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a good land I'm giving you. And so they came back saying, yeah, it is. They even brought some of the fruit. You know, the big clusters of grapes where it took two men to carry a cluster of grapes. Whoa, it was flowing with milk and honey for sure. But 10 of those spies, said there are giants in that land. There are giants there. We're not able to go up against those giants. They're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. We're like grasshoppers to them. We're like grasshoppers. They're giants. But Caleb, he was one of the 12 that went out there into that promised land. And this is what he said. Numbers 13:30 says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb believed God. He believed that they could take this land, and he was ready to act. He said, let's go up at once. Don't think about it twice. Don't get wishy-washy. Let's go get it. Let's go take it. God says it's ours. He's giving it to us. We just got to show up. We got to do our part. But then in Numbers 14:2, this is what the Israelites said. And all the children of Israel complained. Ooh. They complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, they're using their mouth, they said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. They want to die. And you can read Numbers 14, 6 to 9. It says that Joshua and Caleb, you know, you can read their response. They said, you know, don't be afraid. They said, don't be afraid. God's with us. But only Joshua and Caleb would be able to go into that promised land. And so I just want to read, if you could go to Numbers 14 in your Bible. Here is God's response. I want you to see God's response. You're on your own. Numbers 14. This is what God is saying. I'm going to start in verse 26. Numbers 14, starting in verse 26. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my ear hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, for those 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. That was God's response to those negative, murmuring Israelites. They sealed their own fate with their words. Oh, if we would just die in this wilderness. They got what they said. They got it. They sentenced themselves to wander in that wilderness for the next 40 years until everyone in that first generation died except Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. We can do it. We can take it. And so you can have what you say. It's important that what you're saying is what God says in his word. Our mouth must align with what God is saying. We need to refuse to speak negatively. We need to refuse to speak doubt. Let's decide. Let's make a decision to only speak the truth. That's what God says. We're to line up our mouth. That's how we release our authority. That's how we release the promises through our mouth. All right. Very good. Thank you all for sharing. Pentecost Sunday. Wow. We're going to close in prayer. Thank you for all, hanging around. It went a little bit longer today, but just an important message, an important day. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We come before you, Lord, with reverence and awe of who you are and all that you have done for us. Joshua and Caleb reverenced you. They trusted you. They acted on what you told them to do. Help us, Lord, to be Joshua's and Caleb's in this generation. Help us, Lord, not to be fearful like that first generation of Israelites. Help us, Father, to stand strong on your word, even though things may look a little frightening, a little scary, the storms that come against us, those stormy gales. Father, your word is sure, your word is true, and it is all powerful. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Holy Spirit to indwell us. Father, I ask that you would fill afresh everyone right now. Everyone within the sound of my voice. That we receive you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for boldness. Thank you for your power being released in us right now. Right now, Lord. We ask, and you're faithful to give. If we ask for the Holy Spirit, you don't give us, you won't give us something that's not the Holy Spirit. If we ask for bread, you won't give us a stone. We ask you, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh so that we can go out and do what you've called us to do. We are your lighthouse here. We are lights that go out into the community, into our neighborhoods, into our jobs, into our schools. We're your lights. Thank you for filling us
our light will never go out. Thank you, Lord. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. The precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.